Welcome to Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans, a ministry dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, inspiring, educating, and equipping believers to care for vulnerable children, and supporting those who have heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Here's your host, Sandra Flack.
He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. That is from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. Welcome to Orphans No More, a podcast to encourage, educate, and equip you to care for children in crisis through adoption, foster care, and kinship care. I am your host, Sandra Flack. Thank you for joining me for episode 274. I have a wonderful adoptive mom guest on today, but first, coming up in June, I will be interviewing several foster and adoptive dads in honor of Father's Day, including my very favorite adoptive dad, my hubby, Wayne. Will be the guest. I've never had Wayne on the show before. I've been doing this show for, I don't know, I think 10 years. So it will be interesting. It will be informative. I think it'll be fun. I'm the one with the gift of gab, and he's more of the serious, quiet type. So I think interesting is a good word. It'll be interesting, but it'll be informative. So I think you'll enjoy it. I'm looking forward to it. And I am recording this episode before I have an exact release date for my book, Orphans No More, A Journey Back to the Father. But it should be released as an ebook on Amazon any day now. And the physical copy will be available on my website, sandraflack.com, and wherever good books are sold by mid-June. I'm so excited. Just today, I pushed the button, gave them the publisher the green light to send it to print. I had to review the final, they call it a print copy, proof copy, and I went through it, found a couple little things that needed to be fixed, and then we fixed them, and we're off and running. So I'm so excited. For so many years, I have been saying, I'm writing a book, I'm writing a book, I'm writing a book, and now I can say I have written a book, and you will be able to read it soon. You can learn more about me, the book, this podcast, read my blog. I do write a weekly blog on my website. It's really geared for you, the foster and adoptive and kinship parents who faithfully follow this podcast. I know are my audience for my blog. So if you are in that category, parenting kids from hard places, the weekly blog is something that you can really get some encouragement and equipping from. You can find the blog there. You can contact me for speaking opportunities, all of the above. The website is sandraflack.com. My website is connected to our ministry website. Our ministry is Justice for Orphans, and that website is justicefororphansny.org, and you can get to either website from the other. We're just interconnected there. So you'll be able to find all of that information there. Now, on to my guest. So our amazing mama guest today is a wife, author, blogger, speaker, and adoptive mom of two precious children. Please welcome Samantha Morgan. Hey, Samantha.
Hello. Thrilled to be here.
I'm thrilled to have you on the show, even though you're sort of lost somewhere in Florida in your car.
Wow. This is the life.
Yes. You're traveling and you're speaking and doing all kinds of amazing things. So I'm just grateful that we were able to catch up, connect, and have our conversation today.
Absolutely.
So I always love to start with the story at the beginning of an adoption journey. So would you please share what led you and your husband, Michael, to adopt?
Yes. You know, I like to tell people, because you hear all kinds of things when you're adopting or when you're in the middle of adopting. Oh, you're so, you know, good for adopting. And I like to tell people that I adopted selfishly because, you know, we suffered with years and years of infertility. And God really showed us what adoption could look like and showed us people who had adopted, and I just knew that I needed a child as bad as some of these kids needed a parent. And so I don't want to, you know, get into adoption looking like that savior mentality, because I adopted selfishly out of infertility.
Wow. So when, at what point did you guys say, okay, adoption is going to be the answer for our family?
Yeah, we had been trying for about 7 years. So we had been married for about 7 years, and the doctor, the fertility doctor, said, you know, the sun and the moon and the stars are going to have to align before you two get pregnant. And that was kind of shook me up in my faith, because, you know, I serve a big God, and if he wanted to make that happen, he could. But then on the other hand, I also knew that there could be other plans for us and other options. And God really showed me that, you know, 9 months of pregnancy wasn't going to take a lifetime away of being a mom. And honestly, my husband was not on board at first. And so I always like to share that with people, because I think it's reality that adoption is something we have to really wrap our head around. And I think it's easier for us women to do that, to mother.
Yeah.
Than it is our husbands.
A little more natural, right?
Yeah. And so I really prayed, you know, I prayed for God to take that desire of pregnancy away, but I also prayed for God to soften my husband's heart, for him to really have that divine intervention, of that aha moment for him, like I had. And you know, God comes through when you pray for that. Mm-hmm. And he met a little girl, a family who had just adopted, and was kind of like, oh, this is, they're just little people. And then, you know, I think it all came out that I think he was just as scared about being a dad than just the idea of adoption. And so, and having a baby. And that's kind of where we ended up. The little girl that he met was adopted from Eastern Europe. And she wasn't a baby. And so he was just kind of infatuated with her, and came home talking about her. And, you know, you need to call, you know, Tim's wife and talk to her about what they did and how they got her. And so that kind of started our journey, and kind of how God directed us towards Russia for our first adoption.
Yeah. Tell us about that journey.
Oh, so every adoption is as unique as fingerprints. I mean, every single adoption is different. There are no two that worked out perfectly and the same. When we decided to adopt from Russia, we wanted two children, and I wanted a sibling group, because, you know, I knew I was taking them out of their culture, and I knew we probably wouldn't get a baby that just wouldn't remember it. And so I wanted siblings so that they would have someone to come back with. And so we got a referral the first time for a full brother and sister, Yegor and Kristina. And we went and met them, fell in love with them. You know, they trusted us by the end of our visiting time. And, you know, the last thing I said to Yegor was, I'll be back. You know, mama will be back. And through that, just before we flew back to for court to adopt them in court, in the Russian court system, our agency called and said, you know, I'm really sorry this doesn't ever happen, but the aunt wants to keep your kids. You know, we're really sorry. We don't have any other kids for you to see right now, but this has gone far enough that you still have to appear in court in Russia to stop this adoption. And, you know, I was just so confused and so mad because this family hadn't come and visited them in 2 years. They'd been in the orphanage for 2 years. And so we flew back. Michael drugged me back. And we appeared in court, and the little orphanage director got us in real close at after court and was talking in Russian. And our translator said, "She picked you out a baby."
Wow.
And I said, "What?" "She picked you out a baby. She feels really bad for what happened, and she wants you to come meet him." So since we had applied for two children, they did have another little girl for us to visit. So that's what I thought she was. I thought she was talking about this little girl. And the translator said, "She says he looks just like Dad."
Mm.
And so then I was really confused. And so it turns out she had went to the baby room and, you know, looked through the eligible children and found our son. He was handpicked for us. And so we met him on Friday. Then we met the little girl on Saturday, and we had to decide on Sunday whether to take both of them or one of them. And talk about a hard decision.
Yeah.
They were 4 months apart, so it would be like raising twins. They weren't siblings at all. They weren't even in the same orphanage. So I didn't have that. I just didn't have that green light yet from the Holy Spirit that she was ours. As soon as I met our son, like, it was over for me. Like, I knew he was 10 months old, but he wasn't walking. He wasn't sitting up on his own. There was a lot of, you know, developmental delays there that's expected. So we didn't know, you know, medically what we were getting into, because we didn't even see his medical files. We just said, okay, you know,
yep.
He's ours. And so my husband, who wasn't excited about adoption to start with, wanted all the children. So we really struggled back and forth, because I just did not have that green light from the Holy Spirit that she was ours. And when our agency worker came in that Sunday and says, "Okay, like, it's just another day. What do you want? Do you want them both?" We said, "Well, the little boy is ours for sure, but we're just not sure about her." And so she's like, "Okay, well, I have to go next door and talk to the couple next door." And so while she was over there, Michael and I just really talked and prayed. And I just felt that peace that she was not our daughter, that she belonged to somebody else. And it turns out the next day, she went next door to tell that couple that their adoption had fell through of their daughter, that they were there for a girl.
Mm.
So they went to meet this little girl the next day and adopted her.
Aww. Wow.
So we got to bring our kids home at the same time. I still, you know, visit with them on Facebook and keep up with them and get to see her grow up. And even though we lost Yegor and Krishina, I know that we had to go through that so that they could end up with biological family.
Mm.
Because they'd never come to visit them until they said they're getting adopted overseas.
Yeah.
And so I can rest in knowing that they ended up with biological family. Our son Rush, who we named Rush, is exactly where he needs to be. Mm. And Hannah ended up with her family, and God doubled our expectations in that. In that first international trip.
Wow.
That was wild and crazy.
Yeah, they always are, aren't they? I can relate in so many aspects there. Rush was how old? 10 months old, you said, when you brought him home?
He was 10 months old when we met him, and then he was 13 months old exactly when we got him home.
Yeah, because Russia required several trips to Russia, yes, before you could complete the adoption and bring them home. So when you did finally get him home, what was that adjustment like?
Well, I would say the first 2 weeks was like having a newborn because of the time change.
Yeah.
You know, and the time difference. He wasn't speaking Russian, but when he was mad, he would roll his R. No, he would roll his tongue when he was mad, but it was so cute. I couldn't help but just love it when he ended up mad, because he would just, it was just so cute. He lost that eventually, but for, I would say he was, he said his first word within the first 3 months of us being home. Mm-hmm. Like, he is sharp as a tack, in language and writing and things still today. He loves to write and talk. So he really, you know, by the time we had him home a whole year, the next Christmas, I just remember him opening Christmas presents, and he was just barely turned two. And he just opens up the Christmas presents and goes, "Puzzles. I love puzzles. Thank you, Mom." Like, you know, like, he was just full sentences straight out of the gate. So, but, you know, developmentally was a little bit slower. With his coordination and everything, as soon as we got him home and was started practicing, he started using his legs more. Like I said, when we met him at 10 months old, he wasn't even crawling well. And he would, you know, suck his thumb and rock himself to soothe himself. And so I just vowed that he didn't spend a lot of time on the ground when we got home. Unless it was to practice walking. And so he didn't go a lot of time without in our arms. When we got home,
you held him and bonded and loved on him. What about, so many kids from Eastern Europe were, are prenatally exposed to alcohol. Mine adopted from Ukraine. I've got two that are diagnosed with an FASD. Did you experience any of that with Rush?
You know, no, he was, as far as health goes, we haven't had any issues with that. I don't think he was exposed at all. I mean, he just seems so healthy, you know, besides the developmental stuff when we first got home. We really have been blessed in that, because he hasn't shown any signs of any of that.
That's a huge blessing. So how long between bringing Rush home before you pursued adoption again?
Rush had been home for 3 years, and he looked at me and said, "When am I going to get a brother or sister that doesn't leave?" And so I knew it was time that we, you know, adopt again. We had, and what he meant by that is, we had had a foster daughter for a while, had kind of been that open house to kind of come and go for kids, and they all left. And so we knew that it was time, that, you know, he wanted a brother, sister. And the funniest thing is, when our daughter Hope came home in the hospital, he looked at her and goes, "I thought I was getting a brother." He wasn't happy it was a girl.
So but this time you didn't adopt internationally, you adopted domestically. So tell us about bringing Hope home.
Yes, domestic was honestly so much harder for me than internationally. You know, internationally is physically exhausting, as well as just the, but you have like an end goal, you know, you're next in line for these children or whatever. And domestically, you are completely at the mercy of the birth parents choosing you, you know. So every time, we waited a year and a half before we got chosen, before Hope came home. And it was the most mentally exhausting year and a half of my life.
Wow. Yeah.
All of those emotions from infertility, you know, waiting to see if you were pregnant that month. Only this time you would get a referral, and then the birth, you knew that birth mothers were looking through your profile and at your book that you created about your family and saying, "Nope, not good enough." And so it was just so, it was so mentally exhausting, that wait was. But when we finally, we were actually at the year mark, you have to redo your home study. And we were actually going, my husband wanted to do another international because that was what we were used to. So we'd had the country of Bulgaria picked out, had sent in the first fee to change our agency over. And we actually got a phone call from the first agency that we used with Rush asking us if we were interested in adopting again. And so they had a couple come in and she said, well, we thought of you guys and they're a small agency and they needed more couples to show them. And so that's actually how we got connected with Hope's birth parents. And then we actually got to meet both of them, her biological mother and father, and really sit down and talk to them. And so that was a different experience. Yeah. The most beautiful, awkward meeting I've ever had in my whole life. Mm. You know, and it's just such a selfless act.
Yeah.
That they chose life for their child. They loved their daughter. And to know that their daughter might be better off with someone else is just the most selfless act I've ever, yeah, ever been a part of. So we met them and then 2 weeks later, Hope came.
Wow.
Hope was born. So it was a pretty quick turnaround from getting picked and meeting them and getting her home. The paperwork ended up kind of getting how paperwork does, not signed or for a few weeks. So we did have a few weeks at home where, you know, her parents could have changed their mind. Mm-hmm. And so it was a very, very stressful 2 weeks after we brought her home, before the paperwork was actually signed and they had made their final decision. But like I said, no two adoptions are identical, completely different situations, but still beautiful.
Yeah. So it's been 4 years. How old are the kids now and how are they doing?
Rush is 10 and Hope is 4. Mm. And they are great. They're wonderful. Rush has a lot of social anxiety, mm-hmm, still, and I really have been researching a lot of trauma, like first year trauma, and everything that I've been reading about, you know, when you don't get your needs completely met that, mm-hmm, first year, you become extremely overcautious, you, mm-hmm, know. And when we first got home with him, we kind of nicknamed him Safety Dan because everything was scary to him. He was not one that wanted to try anything risky, climb on anything, do anything out of the ordinary. And now that has really turned into socially. He doesn't want to socially put himself out there in new situations, mm-hmm, and you know, he has so much, and it's taken me like a couple years to realize and just piece all of this together that it's all stemming back from his first year. Mm. But he would have migraines so bad a couple of years ago, they started, and he would have migraines so bad that he would throw up. And then I started like writing down and tracking when he was getting the migraines, where he was, you know, what time of day. And it always came back to he was doing something new, mm-hmm, or different, or he was away from us for, you know, with friends, like he would go with a friend somewhere. And it was so stressful on his mind. Mm. That he would have migraines, and as soon as he got home and was relaxed, he went and threw up.
Mm. Wow.
And so, yeah, so it's taken me a little while to really connect the dots.
Yeah.
On that, but you know, now that I recognize it, I can tell him, mm-hmm, this is why you're doing this.
Yeah.
And so that he recognizes it. And that has really helped. We haven't had migraines that bad in a long time. To where he understands, okay, this is new, and we talk about every possible outcome. And I'm like, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? Are you going to die? Well, no, probably not. You know, so as long as we really talk that out, he can kind of get a grip on it, and cope with that. Now, Hope is my wild child. She is, we lovingly call her Hurricane. Because when she was little, and even now, she just wakes up looking for things to destroy. That's just, you know, climbs everything, does everything. There's no fear there at all. So I have two totally different children.
Oh, I love that. Now, you've written a book, Miraculously My Own, about your family's adoption journey. Tell us about that.
Yes. That is really from a little bit into our infertility. I really start where we make the decision, you know, we're having the ultimatum of do we adopt or do we just live childless, really? And then that takes us on the journey of my son's adoption to Russia. And we end when we bring him home to the airport. So that's kind of our journey from, and kind of the epiphanies of what God really taught me through that journey, because it was heartbreaking and beautiful in the same time. That book is, Rush was so excited to share his story. You know, we've shared his story with him from the very beginning, when I would rock him and kind of tell him a child's version of his story. And so he's been very, very excited about that. And he was more disappointed. He's like, so this book is all about me. And I said, well, you don't really come in till about chapter 16. And he was kind of upset about that.
Yeah, like, what?
I said, this is really my journey to you. I said, you know, like, your story is your story. I said, this is really my story to get you. Yeah. You know, this is the story that God gave us. So he was pretty excited about that.
Aw, I love that. And where could we find a copy of your book?
You can get the book anywhere, any.com. So in Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere online, Walmart.com, anywhere.com, you can find it, Miraculously My Own.
Love it.
It's available anywhere like that.
Yeah. And we'll make sure that we put all of that information in the show notes for this episode and the corresponding blog post. Now, you also have a ministry, Rush to Hope Ministries. Tell us about that.
Yes. Rush to Hope kind of happened after our daughter got home. And I really felt like our family was finished, and it was really time to help other people through their infertility. And so I have a blog post where I help other women write their stories, whether that's from miscarriage, child loss, infertility, IVF, any aspect of infertility, and adoption. And, you know, really help families through this time that feels so lonely, and you feel like you have no control and no options, that there's so many options to build a family. And I just really, really try to help women take the guilt away from infertility, from adoption, because no matter which way you look at it, you're going to feel guilty for something, you know, whether you're woman enough to have children or not. You know, I heard, and you may have heard too, you know, why did you adopt internationally? There's kids here.
Yeah.
You know, so that's another layer of guilt. And I want women to know that God lays different plans on each of our hearts. And just because he opened doors and opened our heart to Eastern Europe, and then opened the doors for us to adopt domestically, doesn't mean that one is better than the other, because people are people everywhere. That's the one thing we learned from flying to Russia four times. People are people everywhere. And kids are worthy of family bonds everywhere in the world as much as they are here. And so I really want women to take the guilt away from their infertility journey or their adoption journey. You know, if they don't feel called to adopt, there shouldn't be any guilt there either.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Guilt is for the guilty.
That's right. And there's no condemnation in Christ. So I love that. Right. And I love, because I know your website, you've got a regular blog, you write, you've got guest writers, correct? So it's a great place to go for some women ministry. So what's the web address for your website?
You can find it at rushtohopeministries.com. And I'm always looking for women, even women that don't think that they can write. You know, I have a lot of friends that go, I don't know how to write. I send you a little timeline and template and really kind of help you write your thoughts and your stories out, so that anyone can share their story. Because, you know, we're called by God to share our story.
Yeah.
And to comfort others with the comfort he's given us. And so that's really been my goal.
I love that. So it's rushtohopeministries.com. We'll include that in the show notes as well. A link to your website, all of that. Samantha, as we wrap up, what is on your heart that you'd like our listeners to take away from our conversation today?
You know, I said it once before, but I'll say it again. Guilt is for those who have done something wrong.
Yeah.
You know, there is no condemnation in Christ. God calls us for different paths at different times, and there's no room for guilt in infertility, in adoption, in family building at all. You are not guilty of anything.
Powerful words. Powerful words. And I know also on your website, you tell your story. There's a section on there where there's the story where you traveled to get Rush. So some of that story, some of Hope's story. So it's just so much great reading on there, as well as you've got your book. Let me give the name of the book again. Give me the name of the book. Miraculously My Own. And just great stuff, Samantha. Thank you so much for all that you're doing and really ministering to women. I know that's why you traveled to Florida. You're there now because you have an event you're speaking at this weekend, your website, your book. Thank you for all that you're doing and for being on the show today.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I love to hear from people. So they can contact me on my website. Emails there, all that good stuff.
Wonderful. We'll put it all in the show notes so our listeners can find you super easy. I know you were a great blessing to me as we were talking previously. We were chatting about book launching because I'm in the throes of that. And because your book also released not that long ago, was it January?
Yes. January 14th was the day we got Rush home.
Wow. And that
9 years
ago. Yeah.
It was a special day.
Full circle day. So that is great. So I know you gave me some fabulous advice there. So I'm so excited for all that you're doing. Pray that you have an amazing weekend of ministry. And again, thank you for being on the show.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the show. I will be sure to include the link to Samantha's website, rushtohopeministries.com, so that you can find all of that great information. It will be in our show notes because you're going to love her blog and her book too. I'm so grateful that you spent your valuable time with me today, and I hope you'll head on over to Amazon and download my book, Orphans No More, A Journey Back to the Father. Like I said, any day now, it'll be live on Amazon. And if you follow my social media, you'll know the exact day that happens. And the first 3 days that the ebook will be on Amazon, Heads up, it'll be free. So you can actually go to Amazon and download it for free and read it. So I'm excited about that. The name of the book is Orphans No More, A Journey Back to the Father. And also, if you do purchase it on Amazon, would you do me a huge favor? Would you, after you read it, leave a review on Amazon? That would be a huge blessing. And whenever you do get it and you read it, whether you get it when it's the physical book comes out in June, or if you go to my website, sandraflack.com, and order a signed copy, I'll be signing them when I send them out from my website. Send me a review. Let me know. Shoot me an email, sandraflackjfo at gmail.com. Let me know that you've read it. Let me know what you think of it. I'd love your feedback on that. And if you were inspired by today's podcast episode, please subscribe and leave a review to the podcast. When you do, it boosts us up in the algorithm so more podcast listeners can find this this show, Orphans No More. And also, please share it on your social media with your fellow foster and adoptive parent friends so they can be encouraged too. Every Monday, we put up a post about who the guest is, what the topic of the show is. You can find that on our Justice for Orphans page on Instagram, my Instagram page, Sandra Flack_JFO, and also on Facebook. We have a Justice for Orphans page there, and I share it on my personal page, Sandra Flack. You can find every week, you'll know who the guest is, what the topic is, and if you could share those posts so others know about it, I would appreciate that too. That's how social media works, right? If you share it, it gets around there, more people know about it. It's a good thing. So thank you again for joining me today for episode 274 of Orphans No More. I am thrilled to have you along for the journey.
Thank you for listening to Orphans No More, for sharing what you've heard and praying for vulnerable children everywhere. We hope you are inspired to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls you. For more information, visit justicefororphansny.org.